You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings. Two important notes on that. Number one, if you're betting the draft in any capacity, make sure you do it at DraftKings Sportsbook and make sure you use the code Ross. Number two, and also listen to the Even Money podcast. We've had awesome guys talking draft prop bets the last couple weeks on the Even Money podcast. Make sure you're all over it. And programming note number two, tonight I'm hosting a happy hour. All of you are invited. Go to patreon.com/rtmedia and become a Tuckheads member. Then you're part of our private Slack channel, our private community. We'll post the Zoom link there, and it'll be awesome. 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Anybody that joins gets to ask me a question. I want to hear about you, where you're from, what shows you listen to, who your squad is, all that stuff. And you can ask me whatever you want. I'm looking forward to it. Patreon.com/RTmedia. Looking forward to this episode as well, because we got such great feedback from last week when we were talking about the quarterbacks and running backs. And I brought on Joe's partner at fantasypoints.com, Brett Whitefield. And it was very, very well received. Make sure you check out both these guys on social. Joe is the original fantasy gangster. That's why his social handle's at FG_Dolan. Brett is a rising star at BG Whitefield, backed by popular request this week. We'll talk about the tight end, maybe another one or two, I don't know. And then we'll get to the receivers. Again, a lot of value in making sure we know how we feel about these prospects before they're on teams, because that immediately clouds our perception once we start talking about what team they're on and the quarterback and the situation they're in and the O-line and the play caller. Let's get a little bit of knowledge here dropped on what these guys are like as players first. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Absolutely love those of you that check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, as well as those of you that take advantage of any of our sponsors, rate and review the show, spread the word on social media. It's all amazing, just like Brett Whitefield. I also kind of think, watching the last 3 years, Brett, that Brock Bowers is pretty amazing, yet I've seen him go between like 5 and 16 in mock drafts I've looked at. That's a pretty big window, I feel like, for a player like that. I mean, you don't see many guys in the 5 to 16 window. Curious what your thoughts are on Bowers, Brett.
So it's really hard to slot him. I did my final mock, delivered it to Joe actually this morning, and I had a really hard time slotting him. I think I put him 18 to the Bengals. So
I
do think he'll go earlier. I don't know where to put him. The NFL has been so wishy-washy with the positional value thing. Some teams really buy into the positional surplus value. Other teams don't as much. You know, if the Lions were picking top 10, I'd say they'd probably take him, you know, but that's just not always the way it is. But Bowers is awesome. I mean, this is a guy that has just incredible movement skills. I mean, that's what you're looking for. Athleticism is more important to the tight end position than any other position in the league. If you look at, I don't know if you've ever heard of the relative athletic score, RAS. If you look at receivers over the last two decades that have gone over 750 yards, sorry, not receivers, tight ends, only one of them didn't score as an elite athlete in the RAS system. And Brock Bowers, I know we didn't get testing on him, but it's pretty clear when you put on the tape, that guy is every bit the athlete you hope he is. He's a pretty good route runner. Ross, there are some concerns with his production profile, just being honest. I think like 70% of his receiving yards in college came on gadget type plays or slot wheel routes, where he's, you know, lined up on a linebacker and just takes him deep. So There isn't a whole lot of nuance to what Georgia was asking him to do. We just can't really penalize him though for, you know, for not being asked to, you know, get out there and run routes, play in, play out. So,
well, you can't because you didn't penalize JJ McCarthy for them running the ball on 3rd and 12 last week. So you can't penalize him for what he wasn't asked to do either. Which, by the way, I am firmly in that camp. You know, Michigan ran the ball a lot because John Harbaugh likes to run the ball a lot. I mean, you know, like Georgia used Brock Bowers. However they used him, it worked, because I felt like every Georgia game you ever watched for 3 years, he was a dominant player. Joe, I feel like you've told me for years that rookie tight ends aren't worth nothing in fantasy football. Did Laporta change that? I mean, Pitts had a pretty good rookie year too, right?
Yeah, Pitts had a great rookie year. The problem was he was allergic to the end zone. And then Arthur Smith was allergic to getting him the football. So Pitts had a great rookie year. Obviously, dating back, Rob Gronkowski had a great rookie year. We've had guys like Jordan Reed ended up having a good year years back. But Sam Laporta has now kind of set the standard, right? Sam Laporta he's instantaneously, by the way, Ross, become the tight end one in fantasy. Sam Laporta had such a great rookie season that he is now getting drafted ahead of Travis Kelce. So that is where that is a guy who has bucked a trend. The issue for Bowers is, where does he land, right? If he goes to a team like, let's just say the Chargers, I don't think the Chargers are going to take him, but let's just say he does. Well, he's already a guy who might be their number one passing option. If he goes to the Jets, well, you're behind Garrett Wilson, and you're behind whichever one of Aaron Rodgers' bros that Aaron Rodgers wants to bring in. So it's going to be really interesting to see. But then again, you know, Sam Laporta did it on a team that had Amon-Ra St. Brown. So you have fantasy players are more into drafting rookie tight ends now than they ever have. And Bowers, I think, is going to be very, very landing spot dependent.
You know, I want I want Jim Harbaugh to draft him and put him at slot receiver. You know, just have a 245-pound guy at slot receiver. I mean, that feels like a Jim Harbaugh move. I am curious about that part of it, Brett. If he only played receiver, like if he was a slot receiver, so you kind of answered earlier in terms of maybe not being the most nuanced route runner or not asked to do it, but when I just watched him and saw the production, I'm like, okay, fine. Don't call him a tight end. Call him a slot receiver, because the numbers and the athleticism are still there.
Yeah, you'd still have to question what he was asked to do, but ultimately, you still see the movement skills. I think he actually could probably play receiver if he shed a few pounds. Scott Barrett ran his production model and put Bowers as a receiver. Scott Barrett works with us at Fantasy Points, and he came out as like wide receiver 3 of the draft class in Scott's model. Purely analytically driven, but that still just shows you how freaking awesome Brock Bowers is.
Brett, are there any other tight ends that you feel like we should talk about that are worthy of a mention? I've seen the Kansas State kid, Sinnott, Theo Johnson, Penn State. There's been some buzz recently for the Arizona kid. Is there anybody else that you can see being Laporta-esque? Maybe they don't even go till the second round, but they end up being really good for fantasy as rookies.
So I like the guys you just mentioned a good bit. Theo Johnson's a freak athlete. Ben Sinnott, good athlete as well, good route runner. But I'm going to throw a name at you that you probably haven't considered, and it's going to blow your mind. Probably a day 3 pick, early, you know, round 4-ish type of guy. That's Florida State tight end Jaheim Bell. This guy is, I mean, we're heading into an era of football where so many teams have the positionless football mantra. Jaheim Bell is a little, technically he's a little undersized, although I think that's a ridiculous argument considering he's only an inch shorter than Brock Bowers, but he's got a longer wingspan than Sam Laporta, a longer wingspan than Trey McBride, longer wingspan than Brock Bowers. So he's not really missing out by being an inch shorter. I think his, you know, his arm length is just fine. He still has great extension for the football and whatever. Anyways, I think Bell's awesome, though. He tested as an elite athlete. He's got the movement skills. He's got the disciplined route running, precise route running, really, really nice body control, and he's really good after the catch as well. This dude was playing running back half the time before he got to Florida State at 245 pounds.
Wow. I love it. Love the profile. Let's get into the receivers. And there has been a decent amount of debate, Brett, about which guy is the best guy. Who do you have at the top of your receiver board?
Yeah, I'm not overthinking this one. I'm going Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's all there. The, you know, from the skills on the field to the fact that he's got royal blood, you know, that's I can't come off of it. I think he's awesome. I think the talk of another guy unseating him is a little bit premature.
You know, the one thing I will say about that, a couple different things. Number one, I do think it matters that his dad's been through it and his dad's a pro and his dad can teach him. And I think Kevin Johnson, his dad's college teammate, he works with him. I think it's fantastic that he's just been working on his game this entire offseason rather than all the draft stuff that doesn't really matter. And I will say this, you know, I've read some of the reports out there about some concerns about Malik Nabers. Feels like Marvin Harrison Jr. is the opposite. Like, he's been a pro since he was in high school at St. Joe's Prep in Philadelphia, meaning the way he's conducted himself and no concerns in that regard. Just like I have no concerns about what I'm going to be drinking tonight on the happy hour at patreon.com/RTmedia. It's going to be Labatt Blue Light because it's delicious, and I like to drink it with friends like those of you that join me tonight. Living life to the power of we, always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, so if you like Harrison Jr. as the top guy, there's two more guys that people really like, Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. Who do you have next?
I have Odunze next, I think. I think he's actually a lot closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. than Malik Nabers is. We can get into Nabers in a second, but Odunze is he's a throwback X-type receiver. He can also be a big slot and operate that way. But this guy, there isn't anything you can't ask him to do. He's awesome after the catch. He's got elite movement skills, great athlete. He's got that, you see that track and basketball background when he plays. Really, really good route runner. Maybe one of the most precise route runners in the draft class. You see that body control pop when he's running those routes, when he's in the air, freaky acrobatic in the air. And then he's also just an incredible, like, the developmental track record he has shown is awesome. He's gotten better each year. He could have came out last year and probably still would have done well for himself, but he decided to go back to school, and now he's going to probably find himself in the top 10. I love that developmental track record that shows that there's a guy continually working to get better. On top of that, he had a lot of target competition in Washington with Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan. The fact that he put up the season he did with those guys also commanding a lot of targets, I think, is really impressive.
All right, I want to get Joe's thoughts on rookie receivers, especially top 10 guys, in a minute. But you're the guy that I want you to talk about Nabers, because he's the last guy that most people think end up going in the top 10. I've seen some people... might even be Daniel Jeremiah. I've seen some people that have Malik Nabers as the best player in the draft, Brett, which is, you don't often hear that about a receiver.
Right. He's got all the physical tools you look for in a receiver, especially like the NFL is kind of shied away from that traditional X-type role to be the number one in a team. And they've really prioritized that short area quickness, that elite change of direction stuff. And that's Malik Nabers to a T. My only real pause with him, Ross, is like the production profile is actually a little fraudulent. When you see the way LSU used him, you know, college defenses play pretty much two high safety looks all the time. It's this real relaxed coverage, typically quarters. Malik Nabers was able to exploit that because what you get is free access into the second level. He gets one-on-one with the safety who's kind of flat-footed, playing that, you know, that match or relate coverage, and Nabers just destroys him every single time vertically. We saw similar guys win similar ways like Elijah Moore and Wandell Robinson and Tutu Atwell. they all were used very similar to Malik Nabers. And I'm not saying Nabers can't be a good pro because those guys haven't worked out, but if you're going to prop him up because of that production profile, I think it's important to shed some context on why he achieved the things that he did. That said, all the physical traits are there. I think he has the potential to be an excellent route runner. He's a little lackadaisical, a little undisciplined right now, but you see the ball skills, the contested catchability, and the run after catch stuff. He actually kind of reminds me a lot of former LSU receiver Jamar Chase, who, you know, was a very similar build to Malik Nabers.
Interesting. You didn't talk much about Marvin Harrison Jr. You just talked about him being obviously your number one guy. What do you see from him as a rookie? What do you see from him? Is there a comp for him? Because he's a different player than his dad was.
Very different. Bigger, I would say more explosive, you know, athletic package you're getting there. The thing I love most about Marvin Harrison Jr., he's the most battle-tested receiver maybe the last 5 to 10 years in press coverage. So teams will come up and press him. He has an extremely developed release game. I'm not going to break down every release type he put on tape, but he's got about 5 or 6 go-to release types that win him the route early in the stem. And that's just what he does. And I think, you know, as a guy who's going to likely be asked to play the X, people are going to come up and try to press him. He's going to have to deal with physical quarters. And he's already got the track record to say he can win every single time doing that. I would say press him at your own risk because he has the juice. Once he's hip to hip on you, he's taking you deep and he's winning that rep. You know, furthermore, he does have that body control to, you know, sink his weight down and slam the brakes and, you know, work those free yards on hitches and comebacks and stuff like that. So if you're going to play off of him, you know, I think that's a huge risk as well. I mean, he's a do-it-all guy. He was asked to do mostly the vertical stuff at Ohio State, but I think he's shown the ability to run the dig, you know, run the basics and the slants and be a screen merchant as well.
Joe, talk to us mm-hmm. about receivers in the top 10. I don't know. I guess off the top of my head, it feels like more and more of them have been doing well. We've been getting more rookie production, but I'm always probably just thinking about the ones that have worked out, not the ones that haven't.
So, Ross, first and foremost, rookie receivers produce for fantasy. That doesn't mean every rookie receiver produces for fantasy, but rookies produce for fantasy. This past season, we had 2 rookies inside the top 20 in fantasy points per game. What's going to be interesting, though, and that speaks to the rest of the depth of this class, is of those guys, both of them were day 2 and day 3 picks, Tank Dell and Puka Nacua, and this class is very deep. But let's go back to 2022 with rookie receivers. Garrett Wilson, he produced. Drake London probably would have produced if Arthur Smith was content on getting him the football. But Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave in 2022 each produced as top 36 wide receivers, meaning in a 3 wide receiver league, those guys were starting every week. In 2021, Jamar Chase finished as the wide receiver 5 on the season. Jalen Waddle finished as the wide receiver 14 on the season. So those guys were every week starters in 2021. In 2020, obviously Justin Jefferson had the phenomenal season when he finished as the wide receiver 9 by fantasy points per game. But also, Brandon Ayuk was the wide receiver 19 by fantasy points per game. So wide receivers going in the first round, these guys are expected to produce right away. And very, very often, they have produced. So with this level of, and then you also have to look at the fact that if Marvin Harrison goes to the Cardinals, the only real target competition he has is Trey McBride. If Roma Dunze goes to the Giants, I don't even know what target competition he has. They have nothing there. So there are going to be opportunities for these guys who are getting drafted in the top 10 to come into roles where they can essentially usurp the number one target role. So yes, these guys should be expected to produce, and the track record has been of them producing. You discussed earlier about how tight ends, really, rookie tight ends, those guys producing is more of a new trend. Rookie wide receivers, the track record's there. These guys can produce in the right situations.
There's a bunch of other receivers this year, Brett, and I'm curious if there's another guy or next guy that clearly stands out to you. You know, I've seen a lot about Brian Thomas. I've seen a lot about A.D. Mitchell from Texas. There's even been some people that think there's a chance Ladd McConkey from Georgia sneaks in to the first round. Ladd McConkey feels like like a ram. You know, I don't know. You know, somebody in that scheme at least.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys. I have 18 day one and day two grades on receivers this year, which is the most I've ever had. I think last year was the previous record of 16, so this class even better than last year. And then we're also super top heavy. You mentioned Brian Thomas Jr. I can just blow through him really quick. I think from a trait standpoint, he's everything you want in a receiver. Reminds me a lot of DJ Chark, another former LSU guy, where he's just got that just insane vertical explosiveness, that linear skill set that's just so freaking good. His ability to track the ball in the air is awesome. I think he's an instant deep threat, makes a team better with his deep catching ability. Got a lot of work to do on the short and intermediate parts of the field. I don't know that he's the most disciplined route runner. That LSU offense was super vertical, super kind of, you know, ISOs friendly, lackadaisical. So I think he's going to have to develop a little bit as a route runner. But my guy, though, Ross, and you didn't mention him yet, is Ricky Pearsall from Florida. I think he fits the – I laid out what the modern stud receiver looks like. He fits the bill there. He's perfect size, 6'1", 200 pounds, you know, physical player, hot motor, does all the little things really well, exceptional route runner. Like, this is a dude who wins against man. He understands how to beat zone. He can win vertically. He's awesome on design touches. He make guys miss. He's a chain mover. I think – you know, we've gone the whole process without anyone mocking him in the first round until last week. I think Lance Zierlein may have done it. Someone at NFL.com did it. I think it was Zierlein, but it may have been somebody else. But so he's getting some late buzz now as a potential round one guy. And I know it's only one mock draft, but hey, that just shows you how good this wide receiver class is. We've actually, I compiled all the mock drafts on just NFL.com, Ross, and there was 14 different wide receivers mocked in the first round since February.
Wow. That is a lot.
Yes,
the thing is, though, that makes it interesting, I think, too, Joe.
Yeah.
When you look at all these contract situations, like with who's going to trade for Brandon Ayuk? Why are you going to trade for a guy that wants $25 million a year when you might be able to draft a guy on a rookie contract for 5 years? Who might be as good.
Yeah.
Especially in that Niners scheme.
And then, of course, Ayuk's going to have to wait to see if maybe these guys aren't good. Maybe a team takes a Jalen Reagor and they're like, oh, crap, we messed that up. We better trade for somebody. But really, this is like, Ross, you ever go to like a pizza place that just has like 30 pizzas just lined on top of each other? But like, you know, there's like you've got the plain pizza, you got the margarita pizza, you got the pepperoni pizza, you got the meat lovers, you got the mushroom pizza. Then you get into like the buffalo chicken pizza or the chicken bacon ranch pizza. And you're like, you know what? These are all pretty good. I'm in the mood for the chicken bacon ranch pizza today. That's what this wide receiver class is, right? It's what is your flavor? What is your preference? Because you might stay completely away from the chicken bacon ranch pizza, but your buddy, you know he's going for that. It's all going to be like, does Ricky Pearsall land with a team that's going to accentuate his skill set? Does Ladd McConkey land with a team that's going to accentuate his skill set? Does Xavier Leggett from South Carolina land with a team that's going to accentuate his skill set? What are you looking for, man? What do you like on your pizza? That's this wide receiver class, in my opinion.
Man, you got to explain something to me, by the way. Because, Brett, I don't sit there and study and watch, you know, all these guys' tape, or I'm not going to pretend I do. But I swear, every game I saw this year, every highlight I saw, the Keon Coleman kid from Florida State was ridiculous. And now I see him way down on all these lists. What, like, did he kill a guy? Like, what did he do that he is? Is it just a bad 40 time?
It's the bad 40. So it's actually, he's getting it from both angles, unfortunately. So the film crowd, they don't like the long speed, the bad 40 time. You know, there's not a lot of nuance to his route running right now. He was just mostly a contested catch guy. The analytics crowd don't like him because he's a contested catch guy. And if contested catch ability is the first thing you mention about a wide receiver, he's probably not very good. Now, there's exceptions to that rule, of course. But that's honestly, you know, he has to be out of this world in contested situations for that to translate right away. He has a lot of work to do. Now, I happen to like him. I think he's my wide receiver 11, but I still have a second round grade on him. I think he's got a lot of potential. I mean, you see the body control, and for me, body control is the most important trait. I've gone back 10 years and reviewed my draft grades. Body control is the one consistent trait that propels guys in the NFL because it leads to good route running. It leads to yards after catch. It leads to acrobatic catches on the boundary. Like, yes, and he has all the body control you could ever ask for.
Check him out at BG Whitefield on social media. Brett Whitefield, excellent job. Of course, Joe is at FG_Dolan. You can always use the code 24FEAST to get a discount at fantasypoints.com, which we love. Hope to see as many of you as possible tonight on the happy hour, patreon.com/RT Media. Starting next week, you know exactly what we'll be doing, going over every position, the landing spots for these guys, getting you ready for best ball and your season-long drafts. Other than that, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.